finding the light of Christmas, because Christmas oftentimes is a time when we do some searching. We do some spiritual searching at times, but there's also another searching that probably is more on the minds than it should be, which is searching for that ultimate Christmas gift. Anybody struggling with that this time of year? Trying to find the right thing for that person. And one of the things, if you've been around for a few years with me, that I like to do is I go to the Amazon website and find their top 10 gifts for the season. And it's always real interesting. I was never so disappointed when I went to go to their website, and it's all... Now, I think they're making this up, and it could be, but their top 10 things are all several versions of the Kindle reader, the HD Kindle, the paper. I'm like, boo, this is boring. This won't, you know, I can't use this as a good illustration. So I put in top 10 toys, and I found a little bit better. But there's one thing that actually really hit me that as being funny, because it's just something that I've seen around. And it's something that you wouldn't expect to see around. This is one of the top-selling things, and it's not just for kids, but it's for, the Mr. Mustachio's Top 10 Manly Mustaches. So if you're searching for that something special for someone, right there it is. And I think there's some pictures of some kids who have it on. Oddly enough, when I'm on social media and I see these things, because they're popular, wildly popular, they're usually on junior high girls. So I don't know what that has to do with anything. But on a serious note, well, and luckily we don't have one of those years where there's the big fights at the department stores for like the Tickle Me Elmos, remember? Or how many of you were around for the Cabbage Patch fiasco? Yeah, some hands raising up. I mean, there were moms getting in fist fights and putting people full nests on headlocks and the whole bit for that. Luckily, none of that foolishness this year, just some mustaches. But and more serious, though, as we do some searching, I want us to really take these few weeks and do some spiritual searching, to look deep within our hearts and really search for the purpose and the meaning of Christmas and what difference it makes to our lives. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be reading out of the book of Matthew. Last week we were in Luke chapter 2, talking about the shepherds. This week we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And Mike has already read that this morning, but I'm going to reread that as we set up for what we're going to talk about. And that is the Magi, or the kings, as we sing, We Three Kings. And so Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" And they have come to worship him. I often wonder why God included these wise men in the story. What purpose did they really offer? Now, Mike alluded to the practicality of their gifts, especially the gold, as that was used to fund Jesus' escape after there was a decree that was put out that all the male children who were born at this time were to be killed. And but other than that, you know, what other role did they play? And as I began to think about it, I began to think about the origin of the wise men. These were not folks of Jewish lineage, but yet they responded. And as I began to think about it, I really believe that this is the first instance where God gives an open invitation, not just to the Jews to come and follow Jesus, but for the Gentiles as well. What's a Gentile? Anyone who's not a Jew. Here is the first experience that we have that people who are not of the Jewish tradition and heritage were invited to come to the Christ child. That has great importance, because that means that that's open to all people. It's not just a specific period or a specific place, but for all period. And that includes people like you and people like me. And we really don't know a whole lot about these wise men. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail about who they really were. In fact, we know less about the wise men than any of the other people involved in the nativity scene. For instance, we really don't know who they were. Who were these Magi? The Bible just gives them this sort of term, Magi, which is a term for a person who's kind of a combination between an astronomer, a scientist, a doctor, and a philosopher. So you put all of these things together, and this is who they were called, the Magi. They know that they really enjoyed learning and discovering things, as their journey would indicate that they had to take. We also know that they had great wealth. They were able to bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were of high value during that time. So we really don't know who they were, other than the Bible calls them the Magi. We really don't even know where they came from. We just know that they came from the east. And that could be places like Persia or India. They could have even come from China. We really don't know. But what we do know is that they had to cross the Middle Eastern deserts for a trip that conservatively would have taken them 4 to 6 months to be able to make, and at great expense and at great trouble. And we really don't even know how many of them were there. Mike alluded to this in his communion meditation. We say because there were three gifts, there were three kings. But the reality is that there were probably many more. And not only that, when you make a journey like that, you just don't, you know, saddle up your donkey or your camel and head out to the wilderness. These were people who had affluence and money. And they had servants who probably came along and family that came along with them. So several dozen people, or possibly even more. But for our intents and purposes, hey, the number three works. And besides that, you can't fit any more than three in the nativity scene that you set up, right? And coincidentally, we have one set up here. And I believe that this was handmade and painted and everything from a former member of here. So don't know who that was. Maybe someone can fill me in on the history of that. But that's neat if you have a chance to come up and look at that today. So anyway, this is what we know of these wise men. And so we don't know that much. But what we do know is this. We know that they did something extraordinary. They responded to the light that they saw. They responded to what God had put in front of them. Something in them, something they saw, sparked a desire to know more. And so they traveled, and they responded in three ways. And I believe if we look at this story, that the way that they responded to the light that they saw, the star or the supernatural light, they were able to find the light of Christmas. And when they did that, we can do that as well. And the first thing that we can find, if we really are searching for a Savior, if we're really looking to find the light of Christmas, is we can find the truth of Christmas. You know, when we look at this, the genuine, they had a genuine seeking attitude of their heart. They had to be observant. First of all, they had to notice that something was out of the ordinary when this miraculous supernatural light appeared to them. And they didn't say, there's a light up in the sky. Good for it, and move on their way. They inquired. They asked each other, what do you think this light is? What do you think it's for? What do you think it's about? And then they began to investigate it. And as they began to investigate it, the light began to move. And they began to follow it. And not only did they investigate it, but they followed it. And they did whatever it took to find the answer for the purpose of the light. I want to encourage you to do that this Christmas season. To do whatever it takes to find out the truth about why you're here. The truth of why we celebrate Christmas. Don't just say, it's another holiday. Or, it's another time that I get to go to church. Or Christmas Eve and we get to exchange presents. But really search for the deeper meaning. I want to encourage you to do that. To ask the questions. God, why am I here? God, what do you want me to do with my life? God, how can I grow closer to you if I'm already in a relationship with you? And maybe you're here today and you're not real sure about God. Maybe you're here today because your spouse brought you or for whatever reason, and you're still questioning, I don't even know if I can buy into all of this Christianity stuff. Instead of just tossing it aside, I want to encourage you to investigate and do whatever it takes to find the truth of Christmas. Don't miss Christ at Christmas. You know, I was at a big box retailer yesterday, and the way I prepare my messages is sometimes as I'm just going about the normal business of my life, I think about what I've been studying and what I've been reading and talking about and what I'm going to say on Sunday mornings. And this happened to be true. I was walking through this mass of humanity at a big box retailer, and it was quite unnerving. But some of you were there. I saw a couple of you guys. So anyway, I happened to overhear a conversation between two parents. And the one parent, this was in the toy section, the one parent said to the other one, and they were two moms, says, "Oh, yeah, I really want to be sure that we teach our kids what Christmas is all about." And another parent said, "Oh, yeah, me too. Matter of fact, when I told my kids that, you know, Christmas isn't about the presents and it's not about the Christmas tree and all those things, that it's about Jesus," says, "my son looked at me and he says, 'Well, who's Jesus?'" And the lady says, "Oh, my goodness, my children don't know about this thing." Here we are in the most evangelized country of the world in terms of the Christian gospel and the good news, and yet there's still people, we're still able to miss it. We're still able to miss the real meaning. Even in churches sometimes, we can get so caught up in focusing on other things, we really miss the true message of not just Christmas, but the message of the gospel. We get so involved in doing good and wanting to be the church that we cease being the church and absorbing that into our heart. You know, the ironic thing is about when Jesus was born, Bethlehem lays about 6 miles away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is what? This is the hotbed of Jewish religion of the time. This is where it all happened. Yet the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and all these other people who are around, the priests, somehow they missed what was happening just 6 miles down the road. I hope we don't miss what's happening in our hearts and with Jesus Christ. Yet those who sought him out, the wise men, who came from a vast distance, we just say how they had to travel over mountains and more and all those other things. I'm not real familiar with the word, but you know, that's what we have to do. And if we come finding in the light of Christmas, we will find the truth. Not only did they find truth at Christmas, they also found great joy at Christmas. And let's go ahead and read, continue on reading, because there's a little thing that happens in here with Herod. So Matthew chapter 2, and I'm starting in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." Now here's the thing. When Herod comes to them and says, "Hey, where is this going to happen?" "Oh, it's just going to happen over here, but I don't think this is it. You don't have to worry about it," is their attitude. And yet this is, but they know the scriptures and they still missed it. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Well, there's a con artist if I've ever heard one, right? You know, "Hey, I want to go worship him." Yeah, the one who makes the decree to have all these babies killed. He doesn't want to worship him. He has much more sinister plans. And so after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen. This is where it gets interesting. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Overjoyed. Well, I want to talk about this star for a second. It wasn't an ordinary star. Some people say, well, it was probably an asteroid or a comet. A comet that leads people for weeks of walking through the desert. I don't think so. And this star was miraculous because not only did it move with them and from east to west, when it gets over to Jerusalem, it takes a turn south and heads down towards Bethlehem. And then all of a sudden, it stops. And so they have been following this star, whatever it is. I think it's also interesting that this is the only mention of this star. You would think that other people would be able to see it. But for the wise men, this was directed specifically towards them. And when they saw where the star had stopped, they what? They rejoiced. They had great joy. The Greek means literally jumping up and down with joy. So here are people who are not of the Jewish ancestry or Jewish tradition. They travel a great distance, and when they see the star where its final destination above, they recognized, they understood what it was about because they had inquired and searched for it. They were overjoyed and they were jumping up and down. I love those videos that you see sometimes of little kids opening up Christmas presents. Yeah, they show these on TV or America's Funniest Videos or some of those shows. A kid will tear into a present and they'll get so excited. I love the one I saw. I tried to find the video of it and I couldn't. But this one girl gets so excited she can't even process what she has received in this gift. And her arms start to shake and her head just turns bright red. I thought this poor child was going to explode. And then all of a sudden she just wails out in laughter and tears. She's so excited for the gift. Wow. When was the last time we wailed out in laughter and tears for Jesus Christ? See, they had great joy. But they had this star. I just want to talk about this because this star is what led them to this great joy. This star is what led them to where Jesus was. I want to say something. I believe that all of us have stars that were meant specifically for us. I'm not talking about a star in the sky. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about circumstances that lead us and point us to Jesus. Maybe you have a circumstance in your life that finally, after living a life absent of the wisdom of God's Word and the wisdom of the Bible, you have found yourself in a position where you think, oh my goodness, maybe now I need to look and investigate to see what this God stuff is all about. Maybe you have somebody in your life who wants to engage you in a spiritual conversation to help lead you to Jesus, to help lead you to a relationship with God. I don't know who that may be. Maybe in your life it's a spouse. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child. But I think sometimes we miss these stars in our life. I truly believe that God pursues us and uses a variety of ways to bring our attention back to Him. But we have a way to respond to that. If I look at the reactions that those who that we've talked about today, you know, you look at how Herod responded to what was happening. How did Herod respond to Jesus? Oh, he was afraid of Jesus. He was like, no, I want to get rid of him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you sit here and you're thinking, you know what, God, I'm just done with you. I just don't want anything else to do with you. And so you resist and you reject him leading you. Or maybe you're like the Jewish leaders at the time who were just so apathetic towards it. They knew the scriptures. They knew what was going on. Oh, this stuff is fake. You don't need it. It's just a crutch. This isn't the real deal anyway. There's all sorts of different ways to get to God. And I don't think this is going to be it. Maybe that's your attitude today. Or maybe you can find what the wise men did. And that is they searched with all their hearts to find the truth. And when they found it, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. I love that they saw the star. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You know, when I look at that, I pray that's the attitude of my heart and the attitude of your heart when we come into contact with Jesus Christ. Well, not only did they find the joy of Christmas, but also they found the true gift of Christmas. They found the true gift of Christmas here. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we're going to continue to read here. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. These are wise men because they probably had some intuition about Herod, but then they had a dream confirming, saying, hey, he's up to no good. And they heeded it and they listened and they went home a different way. You know, sometimes we need to head a different direction than what we're going. We need to also take that example. But see, they recognized who the baby really was. What makes this baby any different than any other baby that was born at that time? There were probably hundreds of babies that were born that night over 2,000 years ago. What made him so different? It was because of who he was. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and on earth. He realized that he was God on earth. You know, when I look back and we talk about why we give presents, billions of dollars will be spent this month on presents. Why do we do that? It's because of the ultimate, it's a response of the present that we received when Jesus Christ came to earth. When he became a child. When he took the human form. He left the comforts of heaven. He left that unity of being with God in heaven. And he became one of us. Why? So he could identify with us, and so we could identify with him. I'm so glad I serve a God who knows what I'm going through. I'm so glad I serve a God who knows what it feels like to be rejected. I'm so glad I serve a God who understands what it's like to be tempted. I'm so glad I serve a God who's gone through many of the same things that I have gone through. And yet he remains sinless. And the gift that he gave us is salvation. The big churchy word, salvation. It means freedom from the punishment of sin. The Bible is very clear that when we sin, it separates us from God. And when we're separated from God, we cannot enter into heaven in this afterlife experience. But when we have that forgiveness, when we have that salvation, when we accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and his Son, he took that penalty for us when he died on the cross. And that allows us to be seen by God and to be loved by God. But a gift only has value if it's opened up. Now let me ask you this. Has any one of you ever received a gift that's just beautifully wrapped and you know the person who bought it for you just really spent a lot of time and care picking it out and they give it to you and you're just like, huh, I'll get around to opening that. And you walk away. Anybody ever do that before? I better not see a hand come up. Because then you're lying. Then we have to talk after church. But anyway. No. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But yet, God came to earth through Jesus. He gives us this beautifully wrapped gift of salvation that's ours. Yet many of us choose to leave that gift and walk away. I am so thankful that I've had people in my life who have pointed me, who have been my stars in my life, who have pointed me in a way to grow in my faith, but that started off with accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior early on in my life. And it's my prayer too that as we go through Christmas, as we go through these next few weeks, that you would find those stars that are leading you to Christ, that you would investigate with all that you have to do whatever it takes to find the true meaning of Christmas this year. And if you have never accepted that gift of salvation, that for the first time maybe you would open it up and you would have that joy, that you would express that joy that those wise men expressed on that day, jumping up and down joy. I have a friend I went to college with who early on in his ministry had a moral failing. And he went through some very dark days of his life. But he was very fortunate that he had spiritual mentors and people who prayed for him and restored him back to a state where he's back in ministry. But what I love is anytime I see him post something on social media or have an opportunity to talk with him at conferences and conventions, there's one thing that he is excited about, and that's God's grace. Because he has experienced it firsthand. And everything that he writes, he talks about loving grace and God's goodness. And I think sometimes we approach God and we think, there's no way that God could love me. There's no way after what I've done. I've fallen out of good graces with God a long time ago. But I want to tell you something. What made the wise men jump up and down with joy is this idea that God came not to judge, but to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what grace is all about. Getting that second chance. And if you're looking for that second chance in life, we're going to have a time of invitation here this morning. I'm going to have the praise team come on up. And if you've never had the opportunity to experience forgiveness of your past, to experience that grace of after you've messed up, for God to say, it's all right, I forgive you. And to have that promise of, hey, you don't have to worry about what happens after this world and after this life, because you have a promise of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to meet me up front here. I'd love to talk with you about that decision and accepting Jesus in your heart. Or maybe right where you are, you realize that, you know what? You've gotten off track of that star, and you need to start following that star back into growing and maturing and becoming more like Christ. And maybe right where you are, you just make that confession to him and say, Lord, I want to be back on track with you. The song that we're getting ready to sing is Light of the World, You Stepped Out into Darkness. And when light enters into darkness, it's no longer dark. And that's the great truth of Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And if you're having some dark days, if you're feeling that your life is dark, invite that light in. He illuminates it. He will change your life. Would you pray with me? Father God, I'm so thankful for our time together where we can focus on your word and study. We can look at the example of how you so freely give your love, even to these wise men who came from afar. They may not have understood you at the time when they started their journey, Father, but they discovered Jesus Christ, and they rejoiced greatly. Father, it's my prayer that if anyone here needs to discover who you are, that they would be able to do that. And for those of us who have made a commitment to you, Father, maybe it's time for us to look inside our own hearts and say, Lord, help me rediscover. Help me discover something new. Help me grow in my faith. That's what Christmas is all about. Father, I pray we do not get lost in the shuffle, in the activity. Father, but that we would follow you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.